Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Oh, it's time for the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kaharski in this week for Robbie Stanley. Nick Kieser producing. Nick Kieser's been internless two straight days. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. PK, how's it going?
Good morning, Nashville. Good morning, Joseph. Good morning, Nicholas. Good to be here.
Nick, what do you have to say for yourself?
I like hearing my full name sometimes. There you go.
You like that?
Yeah.
We could call you Nicholas from now on. It reminds me of, for whatever reason, this will be a you and me joke, but the kid with the bowl haircut from Eight is Enough. That's whenever I heard the word Nicholas, I think of that kid. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Nicholas.
I know who you're
little
about.
Nicholas on Eight is Enough.
Yeah.
There's no way that Nicholas here understands
no,
what I'm talking
no
about.
No way.
Such a wholesome program.
Yeah. Kind of a weird one.
When did that even come out?
Oh, it was. It was big in the late 70s. It probably lasted until the very early 80s, yes. But, yeah, look up Nicholas Eight is Enough.
Sure.
I mean, if you could get that hair, you know, like that is a special
What was the actor's
My little
name
brother
was
had
the
a pretty
dad.
Sweet
was
bowl
the,
haircut.
Was the dad's name Nicholas Van Patten?
Dick Van Patten, right?
Dick Van Patten.
So not Dickolas, probably. Dick
okay, here
list.
We go. Well, get it out of your system in the 6 o'clock hour.
Ooh,
that's
boy.
your pledge.
Yeah.
Good I mean, I would have said it in the 7 o'clock hour. That's just a weird thing to say.
Nick Van Patten. Now I'm thinking of Nick Van Exel as I watch the L.A. Lakers and overweight. I feel like Luka Doncic gained 10 pounds since the trade.
There's good food in L.A.
Yeah, it's a good food town. He might be in trouble. There's a lot of good barbecue in Dallas, though.
Does your boy Dalton Kinnick have to go to Charlotte yet? Do we know?
Well, no, he's back with the Lakers. You haven't heard this?
No, yeah, he got rescinded, yeah, because they failed the physical.
Right. So, no, he's sitting there on the bench. And I actually saw yesterday someone showed like a shot of him looking like
Why were they sending him to Charlotte?
Well, they traded him to Charlotte to get Mark Williams. They need a big. And that would have been – I mean, I don't like giving up Kinnick, but it would have been a good – big for Luka. I mean, he's just a lob, rim runner, rim protector guy. But, yeah, failed the physical, I guess, right?
Connected.
No. Connected? No.
Williams
did. Yeah. So, Connect goes back to the Lakers. Hey, guys. Oh, hey, Dalton. Great to see you back again. You know, so they had a picture of him on the bench looking like, you know, like angry. But I'm like, you know, when it comes down to it, you're getting paid millions to play basketball. You'll be all right, man. Like, you're back in L.A., and actually, I mean, I like Dalton as part of that core, you know, moving
but
forward.
But he's probably on the block for a big.
Well, it could be. Possibly. They did
but
sign
the,
someone
the deadline's
else.
Deadline's over.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they signed somebody else. And who knows? I mean, you know, I mean, he's a talented player. I mean, I think that he could work with them. But anyway, we've got today, of course, this is Charles Robinson Day, so we will have him later. We're going to talk about Charles Robinson. We're also going to get into another Robinson in the 7 o'clock hour. And a big question that I have for Titans fans as it relates to the potential for a Mike Vrabel and a John Robinson tenure at two different AFC teams as we move forward. So we will get to that. But we're going to continue right now, PK, with the cliffhanger that you left us with yesterday. So
it's a terrific cliffhanger.
Yeah, I don't have an answer, so if you do, that's great. But I have not found a situation where I can definitively say, like, at the time of drafting the number one overall pick quarterback, the NFL city in question was angry because they wanted a non-quarterback instead. So if you've got an example of that, I'm here for it.
I do not. I did some investigation, a part of which landed me I've got a phone conversation scheduled with Mel Kiper. It's not going to help this conversation because it's this afternoon.
Well, you can tell us tomorrow.
Yeah, I could tell you tomorrow.
Tell us tomorrow what he says.
But I talked to Gary Myers, the longtime NFL columnist who wrote for a long time for the New York Daily News and the Dallas Morning News, and has written several books. And I can just read you the first paragraph of what he wrote me back. Going back to the merger, I can't remember a fan base objecting to a quarterback with the first pick, especially when they didn't have a franchise quarterback. I don't blame the Titans fans in this scenario, though, because Ward and Sanders would be the seventh and eighth quarterbacks taken if grouped with the 2024 class. But do they really want another year of Will Levis? So he's not factoring in potential free agent help here.
Right.
But it really could be an unprecedented situation here. Now,
it's hard to believe
that people are going to boo it, but they might boo it.
Well, first of all, now this is where you get into social media going to tell you that? Because there are some Titans fans who are up in arms that we're even talking about people other than quarterback.
Yes.
There are some. So it's not going to be. Some. Are they the loud minority on social media? I don't know.
Well, I think it's telling that the active fans, not just Twitter active fans, but the fans that really dive into the draft and are on the draft machines and working out the trades and all of that, that's an important segment of your fan base. And those are the people who are on Twitter and stuff. So Twitter is not real life, we're fond of saying, and that's true. But it is a representative of an important element of your fan base. Not that the Titans need to cater to that important element of the fan base.
No.
But that is a loud element of your fan base. Now, I think the thing that could move this some is if we get indications from now to the draft that they truly like Cam Ward. And that when we hear them talk more about Cam Ward at the combine – and, you know, out of the pro day and whatever at the owner's meeting. And if we see what they do or do not do in free agency, that it becomes more evident that maybe they're going that direction that people, I don't want to say talk themselves into, soften on the idea that this could be their guy, that maybe it changes. But if the draft was next week and the Titans got stuck at number one and couldn't trade down, which seems to be the universal preference. It was like, you know, 68% when I ran that poll last week of a trade down of some level. I think people would be a good share of Titans fans would not like it. And that's an odd situation for a quarterback needy team to have the number one pick to take the best quarterback, and for the fan base to be like, damn, I wish they took the pass rush.
Okay, ready for the whole list. I'm going to give you the whole list. It's not that long, actually. Of number one overall quarterbacks, the quarterbacks that went with the number one overall pick. 1944, Angelo Bertelli from Notre Dame to the Boston Yanks.
Oh, people didn't like that at all.
But then
it's a confusing time with the Boston Yanks.
And World War II raging. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Just the Boston Yanks existing. And then in 46, the Boston Yanks again went with Frank Dankiewicz, another Notre Dame quarterback, number one overall. The Boston Yanks took Notre Dame quarterbacks number one overall in two out of three drafts. That's amazing.
The first guy must have not really gotten it.
Angelo Bertelli did not do very well. Then you got Bill Wade from Vanderbilt to the Rams. Bobby Garrett from Stanford to the Browns. George Shaw, we're in the 50s. George Shaw from Oregon to the Colts. King Hill from Rice to the Cardinals. Randy Duncan from Iowa to the Packers. Terry Baker from Oregon State to the Rams. Then we get to Terry Bradshaw. I've actually looked at the 1970 draft. Like, did they blow it? Was there? I mean, I don't even really know most of them. Mike Phipps went third, by the way. So Phipps from Purdue. Terry Bradshaw. Then you have Plunkett in 71 to the Pats. Steve Bartkowski. Were Falcons fans up in arms? I mean, you know, in 75 when they took him out of Cal? I don't know. He was an okay quarterback. John Elway. Everyone was thrilled. Obviously, well, I mean, Colts fans may have been upset because they knew he wouldn't want to play for them. He was going to do baseball. But then you got Vinny Testaverde to the Bucks. I mean, everybody thought he was going to be amazing, right? Yeah. Apparently, he was colorblind. Like I said, Jeff George is an interesting one. What's that?
I'm just – the colorblind crack makes me think of why did the Bills change the color of their helmets? They had somebody that had color blindness issues, which is why they changed their helmet color.
Like Jim Kelly era? Joe Ferguson era?
Maybe it was Joe Ferguson.
Joe Ferguson? Okay. I didn't know that. So then you get into Jeff George. I did mention that one yesterday. Like, were Colts fans thrilled in 1990 about Jeff George coming out of Illinois?
There are situations like Jamarcus Russell. People didn't like Jamarcus Russell, but the Raiders needed a quarterback. Right. They weren't upset that they were going to draft a quarterback. They were upset that it was Jamarcus Russell.
Were they? I mean, I still give Charles. We have Charles on later. I still give him crap for, like, the column he wrote in Yahoo about how amazing Jamarcus Russell was going to be. I mean, like, the combine was a total, like, oh, my God, this guy. Okay, so let's see. Then Bledsoe in 93, Washington to the Pats. Peyton Manning to the Colts. Tim Couch, my goodness. I mean, Browns fans, I think we're excited, but, you know, that's one of the all-timers. Michael Vick to the Falcons. David Carr to the Texans. Carson Palmer to the Bengals. Eli Manning. That's another didn't want to play for the team. Alex Smith to the Niners in 05. Then Jamarcus. Matthew Stafford, Lions fans were thrilled about that. Sam Bradford to the Rams. Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Bryce Young, and, of course, Caleb Williams. I don't know. I mean, if there's somebody out there, fan of a team, that remembers, you know, even a decent amount of a fan base being like, no, it should have been this receiver.
But keep in mind, we're not talking about the specific quarterback. We're talking about the position, right? And it's just hard to imagine.
Like wanting to take something other than a quarterback.
A case of you not wanting the quarterback. Which I think puts Borgonzi and Brinker and the whole crew here in a pretty advantageous position. Like, and I'm not real big on the sophistication of this fan base overall in a lot of circumstances. I mean, they're like, trade Treylon Burks for a third rounder, you know. But in this instance, it seems they're being very reasonable. Where they're saying, hey, recognize that the quarterbacks aren't that good and don't force it. Are they doing that in Cleveland and New York? I don't think so. I think they're saying, fix quarterback. Yeah. You got to take the swing at quarterback. Swing and swing and swing and swing.
Which, by the way, when you talk about the, you know, the indications, I mean, the Titans are going to obviously show their hand if they sign someone or don't, right? It's not impossible for them to not sign a significant quarterback and not draft a quarterback.
But, I think it
but
is.
But, boy.
I mean, you got to sign some.
It's a hard one to understand, if so.
You got one quarterback under contract.
Yeah. So they're probably going to – so, but you know, the idea of – but you could also flip it around and say, are they absolutely not drafting a quarterback? Point being, it's not a debt. If people have the idea that they like them, that's probably, even if they really don't, that's the idea, right? That's what you want out there.
And I mean, they could leave themselves in position going into the draft. And I think you and I don't like this scenario. I don't know about this slice of the fan base that we're talking about, where maybe they are thinking that they like somebody outside of Ward and Sanders. I don't like that scenario.
See if they can get them in the second type thing.
Yeah. Well, where they like a Dart or a McCord or somebody for some reason.
Tyler Shug, like I said, Nick Baumgartner yesterday, his mock draft has him going as the top pick of the second round and as the third quarterback. So there's another name that's apparently rising. All right, we'll continue this when we come back. Join us on the game phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexo, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexo. Paul Karski, huge Bruce Springsteen fan. This is, I'm sure, your favorite song of all time by Bruce Springsteen, right? You probably play this one all the time.
Not my favorite of all time, but it's a fine song.
You're not a hater. See, there's some Springsteen fans who are big haters of Dancing in the Dark and kind of that whole album.
Oh,
you know?
They're anti-establishment.
Yeah, you're cool. You're cool with little glory days. Little my hometown.
Hating Born in the USA is kind of crazy.
Well, Born in the USA is like people completely misunderstand the point of the song.
No, but the album,
including
politicians. The album was right at the peak of my, you know, fully forming into a fan. It's my high school first concert, 84.
Yeah, you had a sweet comb. And like your jeans, like the big plastic comb, with feathered hair.
No. But, I mean, I went to the Meadowlands. I took a bus into New York City and a bus from New York City to the Meadowlands, and then my dad picked us up.
That's pretty cool.
It's a great night.
That's pretty cool. Speaking of haircuts, Eric said he was on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says he was born in 75, and talking about the Nicholas haircut. My parents gave me that damn haircut as a little kid. Eric from Buffalo. Sorry, Eric.
I mean,
It wasn't popular then. He popularized the haircut.
Bowl haircuts were, for some reason, our parents were idiots and gave us those.
No, my little brother absolutely had that haircut for sure. I never really did. But did your parents look at TV and say,
oh, we want the Nicholas?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It existed well before Nicholas.
It probably did, but I bet you Nicholas helped popularize it. I bet you
he did.
Good job, Nicholas.
It seems just like such a lazy thing. There's no thought in that haircut.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have any time. Just do that.
Just, right. I don't know. It's a good topic. We'll delve more into that. But continuing on the number one pick and the idea that if the Titans go quarterback, that Titans fans will be upset. First of all, you talk about Twitter. I got people on Twitter or X screaming at me when you tweeted that thing yesterday out about how I prefer Hunter over Carter, which is still debatable. But people screaming at me that Hunter is the fourth best cornerback in this draft.
Somebody else said, "Who is he better than on the current roster?"
I mean, yeah, this is the type
of corner.
And I'm like, okay, these conversations have gotten so dumb. I'm just going to ignore you. But what, guys? Look, please, I don't know where that comes from. But again, if he's not listed as the number one player just because he could play both sides. I mean, I guess I'll have to look at. I know that Dane Brugler has him number one as the number one player on his board. Will Johnson, Michigan, very good. I would not hesitate to take him in the first round. And the Michigan corners right now are coming out are very good. But no. Travis Hunter has a higher ceiling than that. Travis Hunter has the highest ceiling at corner in this draft, and I don't think it's close.
I agree with you. I think he's very, very good, potentially, awesome.
So Indy Ben says this. Indy Ben weighing in. Indy Ben, you never answer my question of how you're feeling about the Anthony Richardson era.
It just hides. We had an Indy guy like that back in my full-time radio guy days. Used to call in and lecture us on how the Colts were superior to the Titans, and then when the Colts got bad, he disappeared.
Well, Indy Ben,
I think it's an Indy fan thing.
I like it when Indy Ben contributes. He says, I don't think it's because Titans fans are this sophisticated group. I think it's more that people like Stilley are pounding the table. This draft sucks at QB. So he, among others, are persuading fans to want to trade down.
Don't be persuaded
by him.
Rather
than going QB, even when you're desperate for one. I still think it's very rare for a QB desperate team to pass up on the chance to take a potential franchise QB. So I wouldn't just assume they'll pass on Ward or Sanders at one. I'm not assuming it either. Well, how about that? Let's flip it around. Can you think of a situation where a team did that? Like, we're talking about the team taking the quarterback and people being upset about it. Can you think of a situation where a team was quarterback desperate, was at the top of the draft, and did not take a quarterback? I mean, who was at the top of the draft in 22?
Quarterback-wise?
No. What team was at the top of the draft in 22? Because obviously that's the year that – or I'm sorry, 23, right? Was it 23? No, it was 22. The terrible QB year was 22, right? When Pickett's the only guy who goes in the first round and he goes 17th?
Yeah.
There would be an example, but
that's 22.
Yeah,
in 22. Jacksonville took Walker. Detroit took Hutchinson.
So there you go. So Jacksonville had already taken Lawrence the year before.
Houston took Stingley. Houston didn't have a quarterback yet. Jets took Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, so Houston would be there. There's an example. I mean, it's not number one, but it's an example of a team that absolutely had to have a quarterback. Was in the wake of all the crap with Deshaun Watson
and two cornerbacks,
and wisely said no thank you. That's another thing someone tweeted. They took Stingley third,
cornerback third, yeah,
someone
third
else
and fourth.
These anti-Hunter people are also tweeting at me like, a cornerback's never gone number one overall. That may be true, I don't know, but it was like I don't even think a cornerback's ever gone in the top five. Like, yes, you're absolutely out of your mind on that. Many cornerbacks have gone in the top five of the NFL draft. There's absolutely no question about it. But that's a good example of a team.
Yeah, Pickett lasted all the way till 20.
Oh, it was a 20. Okay. And he was the only one. And Malik Willis, who, again, just because of the presumption that if there's a quarterback, whoever the top quarterbacks are, teams are going to take the top quarterbacks. There were people the day of the draft talking about Malik Willis as like the second or third overall.
And if I'm reading this right, Desmond Ridder was second, third round, 74th.
Yeah, and there were people talking about him certainly in the first round. Yeah, in fact, there was a mock draft.
And Malik Willis third, 86th. That is an extraordinary draft.
There was a mock draft.
Matt Corral, 94th.
From someone legitimate who had the Texans taking Malik Willis third overall pick. They could have. If they would have done it, the league would have been, you know, some people would have been like, yeah, I don't know if he's that good or that's bad QB draft, but okay, I get it. I understand. Yeah, he would have busted badly. But that's, you know, so good for them for being smart and then waiting a year and getting their guy and whatever happened with the Titans that night too, by the way.
Yeah, this draft is really, it's worth, I'm going to write about it. It's obviously a huge outlier. In terms of how things work, and no good quarterbacks came out. Do you know Chris Oladokun?
No.
Seventh round pick, 241. Pittsburgh took a second quarterback that year.
Is that right? Out of where?
From South Dakota State.
Okay.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah,
I remember
Skylar Thompson. Yeah.
I mean, there's not a good quarterback. Brock Purdy was the last pick of that draft. He's the only good quarterback in the bunch.
Yeah.
That's just a totally inside-out draft.
And it's bizarre. And I've heard some people try to compare this one to that. This is not that. Now, this is not the top. This is not great. But this is not that. I think Cam Ward's going to go number one overall. I do. I think he's going to go number one overall. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not – sure on, but
I think to the Giants.
You think to the Giants?
That would be my guess at this point. Now, I think you're taking what the Giants ultimately give you. What can Borgonzi do to massage that trade?
So what works? What works from them? I mean, obviously we're just talking picks, right? We're not talking any sort of current player on the Giants roster, probably, right?
Yeah. No, it's
what's your little trade thing? Can you punch that into your little trade thing?
It'll take me a second to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if the Titans – okay. So if the Titans – if it is the Giants – by the way, previously Ryan Cowden, but not anymore.
I mean, right now the offer I get is 3, 34, 65, 104, and they're second next year.
That's not bad.
3, 34, 65, so that's two additional picks in the top 100. Next year's in the top 100, and 104 just outside of the top 100.
Yeah, I mean, then, you know, you do that, now you can get, you think – well, look, you're going to get
– I mean, you're back in the third round, plus you've got now 34 and 35 back-to-back.
So you can go edge, receiver, or tackle, two of those three, after going Abdul Carter or Hunter at three. You can definitely get one of them at three. I mean, that's probably the ideal scenario, right?
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario. All right, we'll continue with this when we come back. Robbie Rexler, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for coverage of the Duel at Daytona. Coverage will begin at 5, with the race starting at 6 p.m., presented by Green Trees ADN, the new Cumberland.com. Green Trees and the new Cumberland.com. Race broadcast is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Welcome back in. Robbie Rexler, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank, Muscle, Small Bank, Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. So someone brought up a point on the text line, maybe on Twitter, about Eagles fans, but first of all,
special category.
Well, yeah, they boo everything. So in 99, the Eagles, I do remember Donovan McNabb being booed. It's funny because, so that 99 draft, one, Tim Couch, Browns fans, yes, yeah! Eagles fans boo Donovan McNabb, the one great QB in that draft. And then Bengals fans get to be excited about Akili Smith. That draft also saw Minnesota take Dante Culpepper at 11 and Chicago take Cade McNown at 12. All the Bears in QB drafting, it's just been a glorious run.
Yeah, so the Eagles hit there.
So the Eagles hit. They're the only team that hit. They five. Booed. But were they booing, you know, were they booing because they didn't want a quarterback or because they wanted, I don't know, Akili Smith? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Are they booing because
they're going to boo anybody?
Yeah, that may be. Yeah, so. But they probably weren't what we're talking about, which is booing the idea of a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
In exchange for, let me see, who's the top position? Who's the best non-QB? Okay, so the best non-QB, the fourth pick went Edgerrin James, pretty freaking good. Then you got Ricky Williams. Then you got Torrey Holt. Then you got Champ Bailey. Well, that's a pretty good draft when it comes down to hitting on position players. And then you get to David Boston. But no, that's a pretty good run though at the top of that draft.
Yeah,
Edgerrin, Ricky Williams, Torrey Holt, Champ Bailey. Wow. So I don't know. Maybe they wanted one of the running backs instead. But yeah, no one has really. Usually with stuff like this, like our text line is. I mean, we got people with
some examples.
Been on this earth for some years and. You know, fans of different teams, things like that, and no one is coming with anything. Ed says, what's more upsetting, drafting the QB or trading back? Drafting really well, but one of the two QBs turns out to be really good. Yeah, I've been saying that. Like, I'm not excited about these quarterbacks. I wouldn't take them there. But, yeah, you tell me in a few years we're talking about, oh, my God, Cam Ward, what an absolute steal for the Giants. He's the toast of the NFC East. Yeah, stuff like that happens too.
Oh, I think if that happens, that's bad.
Well, sure.
I mean, unless they find an answer elsewhere. You know, and then
in the meantime,
in the long range, they can say, well, we missed on Cam Ward, but we hit on somebody next year or whatever. But if you miss on a quarterback and you're quarterbackless, that's the biggest thing in the NFL. And so you're going to pay a price in terms of fan perception and all of that. But you can't draft nervous like that by any means.
I mean, look, Cam Ward turning out to be a great player. Is that any crazier than Brock Purdy being the 49ers quarterback of choice while they completely discard Trey Lance?
No, but you got to factor in the Trey Lance thing there. I mean, they gave up the house to go get a guy they thought was a sure thing, and abiding by your thing, the odds of the top guy panning out, not just the top guy, the top guys, are low.
I mean, Cam Ward being great, is it any crazier than, you know, I mean, look, even Lamar Jackson being what he has become. Yeah, they took him at the end of the first round. There are a lot of people saying he's not an NFL quarterback. Those people look like idiots. They looked like idiots at the time, but still. Or Jalen Hurts now being a Super Bowl champion as a second-round pick, kind of like, okay, we'll take a flyer on this guy.
Right. But, I mean, you're talking against your own general theory, which is most of these guys wind up sucking.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, even Trevor Lawrence, who was absolutely universally viewed as a generational guy,
right,
is not good.
No, the math says absolutely you don't do it. I mean, absolutely you don't do it. If your evaluation is
try it. The general thinking is you got to take the swing.
And the math says, again, 1 in 5 work out decently well. Yes, just like the name Dick-a-less. Not
that's,
Nicholas.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Oh, why are you giving me a YouTube chat sign? I need to talk about the YouTube chat, or is somebody on the YouTube chat screaming at us?
You just can't forget about him.
I'm not forgetting about the you're right. I'm not forgetting about the YouTube.
He's not forgetting about him. He just hasn't said anything about him or commented.
It takes about an hour to get to it, though.
Well, I'll get to the YouTube chat, all right?
Has that been tweeted out? I'll get in there, too.
I did tweet out the YouTube chat. So,
you didn't tweet it out.
Tweeted it out?
Yes, I did. Well, I retweeted it.
Reposted it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. It's now reposted. Is that right? Because on X, it can't be retweeted. Why am I still on X? I got to get off X, man.
There's no getting off X.
No?
Well, I mean, there is for somebody like you, but all you do is, like, compile a bracket list, and you don't really have writing to advertise. So,
okay.
Yeah, well, you can
I write quite
X.
a bit, actually. Hey, please mute your computer because I can hear you saying something dumb for a second time, like seconds later. We've already got it the first time. No, I don't know. It's just an absolute bleep show. of a.
Is there a way? Here's a question, and I don't want to get political about it.
Okay.
But Elon's all over my Twitter feed. Can I unfollow or block him, or will he then deactivate my account?
I don't know.
It's a lot of risk.
He might have you
there.
Killed. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. That's a good question.
Somebody, if anybody out there's unfollowed or muted him and survived it, let me know.
On the YouTube chat, the Distinguished Gentleman says, who would boo the QB pick? Again, this has happened. Osama Yamama says, when's the last time an edge rusher carried their team to Super Bowl? Well, we just watched a team win the Super Bowl with, I mean, Sweat could have been the MVP of this Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I've watched.
The front four was phenomenal.
I've watched Super Bowls where Lawrence Taylor dominated the game, so I know that's going back, but I mean.
Well, go back to Tampa. Kansas City's lost two Super Bowls because
the pass rush
of the pass rush on the other side.
The pass rush destroyed them, four-man pass rush in both those games. When the Titans didn't make it, but they were the number one seed, and they had one thing that was great in the playoff loss here, which was their pass rush. And that year, because Bud Dupree did get going a little bit, they had Simmons, they had Landry, they had, who else am I forgetting? Well, Danico Autry. It was an absurd pass rush. That was the best thing about the team. I mean, Derrick Henry was also great, but he was hurt half the year. And they still got the number one seed. Why? Because of the pass rush. I mean, it's right after quarterback in terms of importance in football, I believe. So, Kay Doty says, if we know Levis is a bust, when can we call Richardson a bust? I don't know. I keep asking.
Richardson's a bust?
I keep asking Indy Ben what he thinks about Richardson.
He's absolutely a bust.
Well, is he done, though?
Who's not calling him a bust? Well, he's not done because the Colts are stupid, not because he's good.
Yeah, I will say with him, I mean, I'm not optimistic, but he is the classic example of why did you ever play him in the first year? We should be talking about his first year right now, and it wouldn't be good, but, man, there'd be a chance at least. There'd be a chance because that's how you ruin someone's confidence. And it's just, you know.
It's a bad player coming out. So that was a wishful draft pick.
Yeah, kind of. Whatever. I mean, it's easy to say that now. It hasn't worked out.
I said it then.
Yeah.
You could draft a guy that's played 17 games or whatever he played.
I understand. Also, people – look, I saw him play a game in person where I'm like, oh, there's the number one
pick.
You
keep contradicting yourself. You say that all these first-round guys don't work out, and then now you're making all these cases
I'm not contradicting myself.
For them.
No, well, that's not a contradiction. The math is the math. What I'm saying is he looked like a number one pick level quarterback in college when he played at Tennessee. He was incredible. And people who watched the film that year were like, yeah, he's actually a lot better than you guys think. Nah, I understand it hasn't worked out. I mean, there's no argument. But there was a little bit exaggeration of how, like he had done nothing. Like he had demonstrated nothing. Like Jalen Milroe coming out, I'm running away from him. I've seen precious little to suggest he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. Anthony Richardson, in a few games that year, looked like a star NFL quarterback. There's the difference. All right, we come back.
Play best, very little.
Best and worst in sports on Robbie Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
Such a wonderful thing that Nick Kieser introduced me to. All right, it is that time of year. Time of week. Time of day, time of week, time of Thursday, best and worst in sports. I usually go first, but since I'm doing Mike 1 this week, how about you go first? We'll let you have the honors, Paul Kuharsky.
For best?
Best and worst.
Both
at the same time, yes.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins, there were some rumors out there that he was retiring. This seemed false. He tweeted, you haven't seen the last of me. Then he took it down. I don't understand why. DeAndre likes to not be clear
right
on things. That's something we learned about him.
Maybe people continue to guess.
You know, if that was the end for him, it's nice to catch a touchdown and a two-point conversion in a Super Bowl. He wore his dad's mink coat in, which had sentimental value. His dad died, I think, when he was a baby, or maybe before he was born. He got to play with Mahomes.
I think he was like 5 months old.
Okay. Got to play with Mahomes in his last go-round after playing with a lot of bad quarterbacks. But it seems like maybe he's not going to retire. I looked at his career in terms of Hall of Fame potential. He's got 5 All-Pros, which is more than all these guys who are sitting in line for the Hall of Fame right now. So I just liked that he had this nice finish. I don't like to tell guys when they should retire. Seems like a good time for DeAndre Hopkins to retire.
Interesting best. Okay. And your worst?
Jeffrey Simmons. I can't quit him on this stuff. Jim Wyatt caught up to him at the Super Bowl, and guess what he talked about? Leadership. There's never been a Titan who's talked about leadership and led less than Jeffrey Simmons. He talks about leadership constantly. I think he thinks leading is talking about leadership. Just talk.
So what did he say? What did he say about leadership?
Said he needs to talk to a bunch of people about leadership to learn how better to help lead younger guys who didn't take constructive criticism well. Which is interesting because you know who I don't think takes constructive criticism very well? Jeffrey Simmons himself.
You may have a point there. Interesting. Nick Kieser, your best and worst.
Yeah. First off, I know that maybe not the huge fans in there about the Four Nations, but look, I think it's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
You're and wrong.
I know I'm. Yeah. You know what?
This is
great. This is best on best.
We can have an argument.
It's best on best. You have all-star hockey players that actually agreed to go play in something else other than the Olympics.
You have a league that says, my product's inferior. Let's pause it for 2 weeks and let everybody go play in some tournament that includes two countries that nobody cares about.
No, that's not the case whatsoever. They're also being compensated for all this, too, as they expected.
Oh, compensated. Well, that changes everything.
Well, but that's the biggest thing. They had to come to a huge agreement, and that's been a huge issue for years. And so if they weren't going to be compensated anything, they at least get an appearance fee. They also get something at the end that's not revealed quite yet. But if you have all-stars, if you have all-stars that agreed to go play, you have Sidney Crosby at 37 years old who had 3 assists last night. You also are not seeing all the Russians, which I know there's all of that that's going on. But look.
Wait, so that's good? So you're
No.
You're
I'm not
Russians?
Saying that's so part of the greatest
okay.
thing.
Part of the
but
best?
I,
okay.
But I'm just saying that if you have 4 different teams that actually agreed to have their best on best actually show up, that's pretty damn impressive if you ask me. So, and I mean, Team USA is loaded. They have not been this loaded in a very long time. I would say Canada, honestly, is a little bit of a weaker team this year. But I think last night was definitely not the game I expected whatsoever. It went to overtime. Canada was up 3-1. I mean, they go to overtime, and then it took them over 7 minutes to see a goal scored. I mean, it was a phenomenal game. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, Nicholas.
What's your worst?
Hockey shill. Surprise.
What's your worst?
Worst. I would say Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I mean, look, and I love those memes that come out, too. His quivering lip was pretty funny, too. But, yeah, Patty Mahomes was not himself in the Super Bowl.
All right, my best is the Eagles. They're great. They deserve all the flowers, including Jalen Hurts. Yes, you can make the case of somebody else to get the MVP, but it's not like he was a bad MVP. He was great in that game. Including setting the quarterback rushing record in the Super Bowl. But my worst is the Four Nations. PK's talked me into it. So here's the thing. Here's what I want to – a few things come to mind, Nick. I mean, I generally agree with what PK said. Like, we're pausing the league for this. You're taking – again, there's a lot of the greatest players in this league are Russian, so they're just out. They're not invited. I'm really bothered, and yes, maybe this is like because I was relegated to writing like Ellie Tolvanen's going to be awesome columns from Pyeongchang 7 years ago because they wouldn't send NHL guys to the Olympics. But this was a huge fight about the and that's when it matters. The Olympics, everybody involved, you're playing for your country, you're playing for a gold medal. That is a prize. That is worthwhile. It really bothers me that we can't figure that out. And I know that like that's changed, but then we're going to do this thing when all these owners and GMs are freaking out about these guys beating the crap out of each other in something that's not part of the 82-game season and not part of the playoffs, and now this is okay. So, yes, this is my worst. Do you have a response, Nick? I'm giving you time for a response.
No response needed.
Wait, did he stop listening? He stopped listening.
Yes.
This is my worst because I'm arguing with you.
I think it's interesting that you believe that it's a worse thing to see the All-Stars show up. Why? Why is it bad that they are showing up?
It's not bad that they're showing up. It's bad that they think this is bigger than the Olympics.
That they're referring to their best players for a tournament? You go to your best players for any tournament, don't you?
They didn't send them to the Olympics. These guys were, I mean, I
the most recent, yeah. I mean, there were a lot of changes then, too.
Well, this, before you were, you know, over at the Preds,
yeah.
Those guys were absolutely furious.
Oh, I know, yeah.
About not going
to
the Olympics.
Yeah. I'm aware of them,
That is worthwhile. That is worth putting your stuff on the line in the middle of the season.
And that's what the whole IHF.
This is not.
Yeah, but that's what the whole International Federation. That was all their fault. They were poorly organizing everything. But it's also a matter of the CBA being in agreement with the NHL. So I think it's a lot of what the NHL did at the biggest level, at the corporate level. They really messed that up.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, this is cool. These teams are loaded. It's, I mean, like, the games are fun.
How is it worse if you think the games are cool?
Well, because I just – there should never have been a time when these guys were not in the Olympics, and I just don't think this is worthwhile. It's still an incomplete – it's an incomplete tournament.
It's a new thing.
It's not a big enough scope to stop your season. It minimizes your league.
Well, they get a week off anyway, so this is just the right time.
Again, it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, I heard David Poile making the case of, like, you know, you guys can talk about how great it would be, but these guys get hurt and they get banged up and all this stuff, and you know, all the GMs. All we're making the case of why it's a bad idea.
Well, they had to agree to
it. The Olympics, right? I understand. I don't see how this is worthwhile. Alex,
also, you just said they get a week off anyway, so it doesn't matter. Well, you know who doesn't get a week off? All the best players.
Yeah, Alex says, does Paul also hate when the EPL takes a break for international tournaments? That's a huge thing in all levels of soccer.
No, yeah, but that's built into the cake forever. Like, that's how the league has worked forever.
Mark says, don't have this tournament in the middle of the NHL season. Do it during the offseason. Yeah, you know, I guess you could make that case, too. It's weird. It is my worst. It's Nick's best. I think it's the first time we've ever had a best versus a worst. When we come back on Robbie and Rex Road, we will talk. How about John Robinson back in the AFC South? Oh, my goodness. Please let it happen. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.